all the kids leave like that, I feel like I'm being deserted or something wrong with my clothes. Welcome to Woodside Chapel. You know, a comment was made a few weeks ago that made me take up, pay attention. And that is that sometimes we get into the Bible and we get into it so deep that not everybody understands. And, you know, I think there's a balance. And so today we're going to have what I would call a challenging look at a scripture for us to take a step back, look at ourselves, and say, what is it are we doing in this life? And as we all go through the week and we have good weeks and we've got other weeks where there's stuff. And so I just want to play a video that I think will touch each one of us as it relates to what life is like sometime. So here we go. I think there's some aspects of that that touch our lives. In fact, I think some of that video was taken in my backyard, talking about my own life. We're all here because we've been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. And if we're here touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we can be confident in saying that in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Each one of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the minute we did that, there was a work started in our lives that is going to be completed by God himself at a point in time. And some of us recognize that work more than others, but I believe that we need to take a step back and just reflect on our lives to say, well, if when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, a work started, how is it going? So I'd like to just take a look at this fact that each one of us had a seed planted in us at one point. You know, the Apostle Paul says that one plants and others water, but it's God that gives the increase. And we've all had a seed planted in our lives, and there's a purpose for that seed to be planted. And so today, we're going to take a look at the sower that went out to sow, not from the perspective of the gospel, but I'd like us to take a reflect and say, okay, folks, let's take a look at our own lives and how is that seed growing in my life and how is it progressing? The question we ask is, what kind of fruit are we producing for God in comparison to the mounds of garbage that are being produced around us? We are faced with a lot of stuff, and just by sheer virtue of accepting or being, how shall I say, numb to the garbage that's being produced around us, it affects our spiritual lives so that the fruit that we produce in our lives can be minimized by sheer virtue of how we behave towards the stuff that's going on around us. So let's ask ourselves, what is the fruit that we're producing in our lives? So I want to take a look at the parable of the sower, not from the perspective of the gospel, although it's looked at that way. The sower went out to sow, and as you know, the sower went out and he's spreading, and from the Lord's mouth, he says the parable is that he's spreading the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. And so this seed is being spread around, and I trust that you and I, as we look at these verses, can recognize the fact that the seed that was planted in us fell on good ground. But how effective is it in our lives? Is it growing to the point where we're producing 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold? And I was looking at that parable and thinking to myself, why is it that the Lord said that there's three categories? And I think there's three categories because of the capacity that we have to produce fruit for the Lord is how we react towards the seed that's growing within us. So let's take a look at the sower. Let's go to Matthew 13. There's three references to the sower in the scripture. It's in Matthew 13, it's in Mark 4, and it is in Luke chapter 8. We're only going to look at one book, one gospel. So let's go to Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now this is the Lord speaking. He's talking to the folks that were there in those parables. And of course, the disciples' reaction to him was, so what does this all mean? And so the Lord explains the parable. And we can go down to verse 18 to 23. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It's interesting how the Lord goes through those categories, and when he gets to the good ground, he says, you know, there's even differences of the amount of fruit that's being produced in individuals. And I thought about that, and so I thought, let's go through each category, and then we'll culminate with what is the fruit in our lives, and what is it that we're doing to produce fruit. We're all fruit manufacturers in some way, spiritually. What are we doing, and what are we producing so that God would have fruit that would touch the body of Christ? And I think the reason why we produce fruit in our life is not so that, I mean, obviously it's for God, but our lives should be conducted in such a way that it touches others. So, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. You know, we have some activity going on in this chapel where we have individuals, and I hope more will jump on this bandwagon, where we go out and we're talking to the neighbors and we're handing out tracts to the folks in this neighborhood. We've got to recognize that what we're doing is we're flinging the seed out there. And there's two things. Number one, we're presenting the gospel to the people that are around this chapel in the hopes that they will read the gospel, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And also with the fact that they are invited to come here and to find a place where they can bring worship to God. That's one of the responsibilities that we have in life, is to bring worship to God. The other one, as you've heard me say before, is to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why we present the gospel, so that they come to know Jesus as their Savior, and we have more that would come into His presence to bring worship to God. Well, it says here, the birds came and devoured them. This is the wicked one that comes in and snatches the word. We need to always remember that when we go out and present the word of God, the one that's most upset with us is the devil. And he's going to be following us door to door, and he's going to be bringing things into those homes that are going to cause those people not to pay attention to the gospel that's handed to them in that paper form. He's going to cause them to have their attention drawn to something else. And so from our perspective here at the chapel, we need to be in prayer to counteract the attacks of the devil in this outreach that we have. I think that we don't pray enough. We need to pray more. We need to pray more as individuals, and we need to pray more as collective people. And so we do get together on Tuesday nights to pray. You are invited. What do we pray about? We pray about these outreaches. We pray for folks who are having issues in their life, that God would come in and help them deal with those issues in their lives. Sometimes we pray for you and you're not there, but that's okay. Point is that prayer is our ability to talk to God about those things that concern our lives. And so I would encourage you to pray for this outreach. But this is one of the things that when the seed is spread, some of it falls on the wayside. And there are those birds that are eating the seed. We're going to count on the devil to do that. The next thing is the stony places. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is where the seed falls on that stony place. You can see that little plant there in amongst the rocks, trying to grow. But it has no root. And as a result of not having any root, it's going to suffer. What is it that we need to do? We need to make sure that there's areas in our own heart where that seed has been planted. Let's not allow the stones of this life to stunt the growth of the seed that's in our lives. It also talks about the folks that receive the word, and they receive it. They think this is great, but because there's no root, how do you get roots? You get roots from reading the word of God and praying, from watering that seed that's in us, by reading the word of God and feeding that particular plant that God has planted in you, that work that was started in you and is going to continue on until the day of the Lord. Let's move on. Some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up and choked them. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. There's times when we are in our lives and we have have a desire to please the Lord, but our associations choke the Word of God that is planted within us. We need to be always cognizant of the fact that the devil wants to choke what's in you and I. Now, if you look at the thorns, what is a thorn? A thorn is a picture of the curse. The curse is a picture of sin. That's the kind of thing that's going to hold down the growth of the plant and choke the growth of God's Word in our lives to the point where it's going to be choked and we will be ineffective for the Lord. And so then we're just looking at a very practical view. And here's the Lord talking to these people. He's saying, you know, the Word of God is being spread and some of it is going to be snatched away by the devil and some of it is going to fall on stony ground and it's not going to have any root. He says some of it's going to fall among thorns and it's going to be choked. It's not going to be able to grow. But he says there is some that's going to fall on good ground. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold and 60 and some 30. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. And so he says, you know, this is the word of God that's falling on the good ground. What is that good ground? I believe that the good ground is the areas in our life that we prepare in prayer before the Lord that produces the fruit in our lives. We can use that in the gospel. Before we go spreading the seed out into the neighborhood and reaching others for the Lord, we need to prepare that ground and ask the Lord to prepare the hearts that are going to receive these tracts, receive that word, so that they can recognize there is a place that we can bring worship to God. And so the good ground is here. It says in the explanation is he hears the word, understands it. And what is that understanding? The understanding is that we are all sinners in the sight of God, that we all need a Savior. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the understanding is that when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that's the good ground, the understanding. And the automatic result is that He bears fruit. Now, I was thinking about this. I'm talking to a cross-section of ages. And, you know, I'm looking at my own age and saying, you know, at what point in time does the amount of fruit that you produce start to diminish? And I was at an orchard a while back, and this was Charlotte's dad managed the apple orchard and the peach orchards for Gerber Company. And they had, I don't know, 5,000 acres of these trees. And I can remember asking the fellow who managed the actual trees themselves and did the pruning. I said, so at what point does a tree become unfruitful? He says, basically, it depends on the tree. And it depends on the health of the tree. But he says, you know, there's some young trees that produce a lot of fruit. And they have to be careful about those because if they keep producing, they're going to harm themselves by producing too much. But he says the ones that produce a lot of fruit, some of them are the oldest trees that we have. And because they're cared for and because they're healthy, they continue to produce fruit even better than the younger trees. So my encouragement to you is, doesn't matter how old you are. Make sure that your spiritual health is such that you will produce good fruit in your life. As the Apostle Paul was pointing out to the Philippians, he says, you know, set the mark and run towards that mark. And in our lives, we're not asked to win any races, but we're asked to finish. And so the exhortation here is, in our production of our fruit, let's finish well. Let's not finish based on how many bushels we produce, let's finish well before the Lord. Then he says, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And I thought to myself, let's take a step back and analyze why someone has 100-fold in their life, someone else has 60, and the other guy has, I'm being careful where I point, and the other guy has 30. Why is that? I can get this thing to change. What causes 100, 60, and 30? Well, it's very interesting that the next segment of the chapter talks about the tares. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. The tares are those things that were planted by the enemy that look just like the wheat that was in the field. And so the farmer planted all the wheat, along came his enemy, and he planted tares. And tares look just the same. The only time that you can see the difference between a tare and a wheat is when they produce the seed or the fruit at the end of the harvest. And so the farmer said to the servant that says, somebody's planted tares. He says, go out, gather the tares, throw them in the fire, then harvest the wheat. What is a tare? A tare is something that looks identical to the fruit that's growing or the plant that's growing in our lives. And so I looked up the tare, and it says a tare or a darnel seed fruit contains a poisonous soporific drug, a drug that induces deep sleep or causes one to become drowsy and lethargic. And I thought, what a description of the stuff that grows in our lives that would cause us to be drowsy spiritually and lethargic spiritually. Revelation talks about Laodicea. Laodicea were neither hot nor cold. When it came to spiritual things, it's, I'm a Christian. What about the gospel? Well, you go ahead and do it. They were neither hot nor cold. And the warning to them was, I wish you were either hot or cold. Like, pick a position. Be either hot for the Lord or cold for the Lord. But don't be lethargic, because I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And so the warning to us is that as we look at our spiritual lives and recognize that video of all that garbage that's being spewed out around us, let's take a stand against those things that would bring lethargy into our lives as it relates to the ministry, and brings lethargy into our ability to bring worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing we want is to come into the presence of the Lord to worship Him, and we're there half-heartedly. We are in the presence of God. When we leave this place, we take the presence of God with us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so the warning is, there are tares there. So let's turn to Galatians 5 for a second. Galatians 5, I'm going to read, and we can read verses 16 to 25. Let me pull it up here. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do things that you would. But be you led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. So what the apostle is saying to the Galatians, he said, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, there's two things that are warring against each other. One is the spirit of the flesh is at war against the Spirit of God. And these two things don't get along. And I believe that this war, by recognizing the spirit of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit of God, is going to bring lethargy into our lives and cause the fruit production to diminish. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, now the works of the flesh are evident. And there they are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. You can keep going. And you're looking at that and you're saying, hang on a second. I'm not guilty of any of this stuff. And you're probably right. You're not guilty of adultery or fornication or idolatry or sorcery. But I believe that what we are looking at here is not so much of what we're guilty of, but what is around us that we become accustomed to and allow not to affect us spiritually. And so I'll give you an example. Adultery, fornication. We're not guilty of that when we look at it personally. But do we see the seriousness of this sin in the sight of God? And do we see it seriously enough so that our kids understand the seriousness in the sight of God? You see, they're growing up. And their concept of what other people do is being accepted, and they might think, well, it may not be right, but you know, everybody's doing it, so it can't be that much of a problem. And if we go through each one of these items, these are the things that if we do not take a stand against these things, what is happening is that it's going to affect our ability to produce fruit at 100-fold. In other words, if we don't take a stand, maybe the fruit is going to diminish to about 30-fold. And so the apostle is saying, now the works of the flesh are evident. But he says, now, what's on the other side of the ledger? The other side of the ledger is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that should characterize our lives that would produce fruit for others to see that bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that we want to have fruit in our lives? It's so that we bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is being very specific and he's saying, this is what's evident on the flesh side, but this is what's evident on the spiritual side. So how does that affect us? The question I'm asking is, what category of fruit producer for God are you or me? And I guess the desire that I have in my heart today is, let's take a step back and look at this situation of fruit producing through the eyes of God. Instead of just saying, you know, I'm a Christian, I got up this morning and I came and I remembered the Lord. Did you come ready to bring worship to the Lord? There's different categories. So I'm going to ask the question, are you tracking at 100? Are you tracking at 60? Are you tracking at 30? And if you're tracking at 30 or 60, why isn't it 100? It's because we look at other people and judge them because they sin differently than I do. And it's more acceptable for me than it is for them. We need to look at these situations in our life and let's ask ourselves, how are we tracking in the eyes of God? Let's not ask how I'm tracking in the eyes of the folks that I'm dealing with here at this assembly. Matthew 7:20 says, by their fruits you will know them. It doesn't say by what they say you will know them. There's a lot of folks that will spend a lot of time telling you how good they are. But when it comes right down to it, when they step away or when their mouth closes, it's a completely different story. And so the question I'm having here is, by their fruits you will know them. I'm not looking at the fruit that we produce here in this building. It's very easy to be a Christian in this building because there's going to be nobody criticizing us, as far as I know. Do we get criticism? Yeah, we get criticism. But the point is that where we really see the fruit is, what are we like on our jobs with our fellow employees and in conjunction with our employers? Where do we stand? Where do we stand with the folks that we interface with as a school teacher? How do the kids look at us? As a school teacher, do they even know I'm a Christian? You got to be careful there, because you've got that whole other side of the coin that prohibits you from taking a stand for Christ. But there's ways to do it. And so I'm saying the question is, or the comments being made, by their fruits you shall know them. And the question I'm asking is anybody looking at my fruit and recognizing who I am? Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. It doesn't say, if we live in the Spirit, let us talk in the Spirit. That doesn't what it say. It says, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, walking is consistency. Running, we have in the Scripture, it talks about running that race. But I believe a walk with the Lord is consistency, where each day we maintain a walk and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that the seed that was planted at the time that we were saved is growing to the point where it's producing fruit. And so when we walk in the Spirit, the fruit that we're producing should bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there should be so much, someone had said, hey, they're at 110. Here's the key. And the key is, the Lord could say, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And the key is, without me, you can do nothing. And so when it comes to our spiritual lives, we can spend all the time that we can in the Word of God feeding our souls. But unless we have that abiding in the vine, that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that guides and directs us each day of our lives, there won't be any fruit. If we abide in the vine and abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to bear much fruit. And he's saying, but without me, you can do nothing. And so my encouragement to you is, let's recognize the fact that we can't do anything by ourselves. And so as we move on with this ministry here to touch others for the Lord Jesus Christ, let's always recognize this simple fact that we can't do it by ourselves. We need to have that collective prayer where we get wisdom from the Lord in having that outreach. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only source of power. Now, walking in the Spirit, I'd just like to leave you with this comment. Walking in the Spirit is recognizing that when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we were indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul could say to the Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You think about that. My body and your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's an absolute miracle. Number one, the Spirit of God doesn't dwell anywhere where there's sin. And so with sin being eradicated and us being forgiven of our sins, this dwelling place now becomes clean enough for the Spirit of God to dwell. And so when we walk out of the house, we need to recognize that we're taking the Spirit of God with us. And so what does it mean that we should walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is, you leave with the Spirit whether you like it or not. I think that walking in the Spirit is acknowledging the fact that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and living accordingly. And so the encouragement for us today is to take a step back and look at the seed that was planted in you when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ is growing. Challenge yourself, how effective is that seed growing? Is it growing to the point where I am bearing fruit in my life that would bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if I am bearing fruit, challenge yourself. Am I producing in the category of 100, the category of 60, or the category of 30? And let's recognize that when we having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, are responsible now to get the Word of God out. Let's do so, and let's try to hit as much fertile ground as we possibly can. And how do we get that fertile ground? By preparing it. By asking the Lord to prepare the hearts that we talk to. So those are a few comments about 100, 60, and 30. May the Lord bless His Word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank You that we can take a look at some of these verses in a basic way, Lord, that would touch our hearts. But Lord, they're challenging. It's challenging for us to take a look at our lives and say, okay, Lord, am I producing at 100 or 30 or less? Am I allowing the cares of this life and the busyness of life, those thorns, to choke the growth of my spiritual life? Lord, we just pray that we might just have that reflection on our lives so that we can be more prepared to be a testimony for You here in this neighborhood, in this chapel, and amongst our neighbors. Thank You for this passage. We ask that You would bless it to us. Bless the rest of our day, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.